This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. You know what sucks about being our boss, or any boss, is that when your phone goes off, there's a 90% chance it's crap.
Yeah, that's true.
Like yesterday, I texted Steve and said, hey, we brought in two new clients to the show this week. That's a happy text. That's a celebratory text. But that's the only one I've ever sent him like that. Like everything else is just... complaining or bitching or we're off the air or me.
You definitely have a lot being dumped on you.
Yes.
Yes.
Speaking of, Kevin, I think you'll like this little thought I had yesterday. We were all at the game together until Kevin ghosted us, and we were watching the players and the coaches come in, and the first one to get out of his truck was Oliver Marmol, and he got about 50% cheers and 50% boos. The second one out of the truck was Descalzo, who just got nothing but love.
Yep.
And it just hit me, the Descalzos of the world never get booed. Like, Descalzo is a great coach. He has responsibility, but he doesn't have ultimate responsibility.
Right.
He's not making the calls. He's not taking the heat. He's not getting the credit. He's not making the money as a manager. But everyone loves the bench coach.
Yeah.
In life, not just in baseball. In life, everyone loves the guy without responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're only in baseball. There's only two jobs anybody gets mad at. It's the manager and the hitting coach. People yell at those two guys.
That's
They literally don't yell at anybody else.
It's a good point.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, yelling at the manager is fine to me because they're in charge, right? You know, it's kind of like yelling at Mo. Like, Mo had that weird reaction yesterday where there were some boos at first and then some cheers. Like, it's understandable. He gets that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he makes the big bucks and has the big title because he knows that the performance of the team is going to dictate how he's received. So when the team won the World Series and they introduced him the next spring on opening day 2012, guess what? He got a big-ass ovation. Yeah, like, that's how it works.
That disappointed me. I'm not big on booing anybody.
Yeah.
But when it's the guys last year, have some class. You know, just give him a good ovation. Give him a good send-off for the great teams that we have had. I don't know. I don't know Mo that well, but I doubt that he's been gold-bricking it for the past couple years.
No. And this is the thing I never hesitate to criticize a front office, a manager, whatever. Never. And Mo knows that. Did Mo look like he cared that I do that?
No.
When you saw us interacting when we were at opening day yesterday, did he seem to care that I've been critical of the front office?
Yeah, he seems to have a pretty thick skin.
No, he does it right. He gets it. He totally gets it. What I don't like, though, are things like I got on Twitter yesterday because we posted the picture of the three of us, and it was like the comment was something like, oh, he's always so arrogant and we don't want to. Like, you don't even know the guy. He's not arrogant. He's made a lot of mistakes. He'll admit a lot of that. Some of it he'd push back against. But that doesn't make someone what you create in your own head, right? I mean, like, that's not what it is. But it's still fair to say you didn't do this very well and you should have done this better or you should have done this. You know, like, the job means you're going to get responsibility, which means good and bad. So when you win the World Series, guess what's going to happen? Your peers are going to name you Executive of the Year and you're going to get a standing ovation and everybody's going to talk about what a great job you did. And when you're having a hard time meeting standards and you have two or three subpar years in a row, well, guess what? You're going to wear that too.
Yep.
And that's what those guys get. Ollie gets it. Mo gets it. Everybody in those positions gets that.
Razor's Edge?
Yes. So is it okay if I talk about City SC in a social media post they made yesterday?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys noticed this on social media, but one of the AI companies was like, you can make any picture into a Studio Ghibli style animation. So all these people.
What's a Studio Ghibli?
It's like anime. Okay. It's a very popular animation
with
studio.
The kids.
With the kids, yes, yes, yes. So everyone's like putting their photos through this, and I'm seeing it all day, and I'm like, oh, that's cute. I didn't participate. I'm not really one to participate in social media trends in the first place. But I'm just seeing regular people do this, and it doesn't ding anything on my radar at all. Until St. Louis City SC did the same thing. They were like, presented by Studio Ghibli, here's the soccer team. And they did like this big thread of all the players Ghiblified. I apologize if I'm saying it wrong. And it really bothered me because I thought, this is like a copyright issue type thing. It's one thing if like normal folks are doing this and running it through the simulator or whatever and making their own content. But when a huge corporation that I think would be pretty upset if we started using like their signage and stuff without permission did something and put it out and said like, if the Dave Glover Show was like presented by St. Louis City SC and did an animation like that, we would be told to take it down like immediately, I'm pretty sure. Funnily enough, I saw this, I had this gut reaction, I thought, that's so weird. Like, that's just so odd that they did that. I don't like that they did that. Get home, go to look for it later, and they had taken it down. And then I see all this chatter. I didn't check any of the comments when I originally saw the post. I just thought, that's strange, that's weird, I don't like that. I don't like big companies using AI to create things. I think it's cheap. There were enough people in St. Louis who felt the same way that apparently they like bullied St. Louis SC to taking it down.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just thought, you know, I'm not here to be like, oh, what a terrible organization. I don't feel that way at all. I think it was probably an honest mistake by who's ever running their social media. They thought, oh, I'm going to jump on this trend and make something fun out of it. I just thought it was interesting that so many people had the same reaction as me, which was, we don't want this from a big organization.
And flesh that out for me.
Using AI, I think it's one thing if it's like the four of us are making stuff AI and sending it to each other. But if we said, if we got on air every day and we were like, all right, we have this awesome chat bot. We know you guys love Johnny Carson. So the Dave Glover Show is just going to be Johnny Carson-fied today. Like, people would hate that and they would rightfully complain to us about it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Like, kinda.
It's one thing if you're just, you with the bros are using the David Letterman chatbot or something, but when a huge organization uses it, it comes across as so cheap and so weird. And
because it is cheap, right? Like, they can just do it for free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the argument is that what people worry about is if Chevy does that or the movie industry does that, that it's going to cost people jobs, right? I mean, like, that's the argument. That's why people worry about AI. Is if AI is super easy and it's cheap, it's free or whatever, then it can replace a lot of things. Graphic artists, it can replace any of those people that have those types of jobs and pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Which is why people push back when bigger groups do it. It's, again, a lot different if you're doing it with your buddies.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I am the norm or I'm an outlier, but I have a distaste for all things AI visually.
Yeah.
Like, I get a lot of that stuff on TikTok, and the second I see what it is, I'm gone. And I find it just off-putting. There's something almost elemental, primordial in my body that reacts to it as a non-human representation of humans.
Well, it's like the Coca-Cola Christmas commercial that was done with AI.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I mean, that's what people are mostly worried about, right? Because how many graphic artists would be paid to do a commercial like that? How many people, animators, would be a part of that? And you put something out there that is clearly just some rehash of old things that have already been out there, which at this point is all AI can be. It's just snipping up what's already there. Now, granted, that's just kind of how humans innovate, right? We're all building on what came before us.
Yeah.
But it looks like you're talking about. It's cheap, and you can tell it's off a little bit.
Yeah.
It just bothered me because it was like presented, done by Studio Ghibli. It's like, no, it wasn't. It was done by a machine, and it probably took a ton of energy and a ton of, whatever goes on whenever they generate this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But no one put a pen to paper and made that.
Yeah.
It's just
we're going to have so much more of
it's
this.
It's very shallow.
Oh, and from an art perspective, it's slop. It doesn't look good. It gives you the vague idea of it, but it doesn't look like it was in... It doesn't look like it was drawn by the person who draws all of those films.
Probably pine for these times.
The vague idea.
When you could easily recognize it.
That's going to be the worst part is when you can't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which can't be that far away.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, look at the problems people have had with deepfakes. You know, that's AI enhanced. Wait till it's even more enhanced.
Go ahead.
I just found it refreshing. I hate to be like, it's so good that they bullied them into taking that down. But I was encouraged that enough people felt the same way I did. It's like, it's one thing if it's the bros, but whenever an organization gets involved and starts using it, it sets off alarm bells for us still. And I wonder how long that's going to last. Or I wonder when we just finally give in and accept everything.
Speaking of bullying, earlier in the week, maybe, this has been the longest week of my life. You guys,
it's been a very long week.
I mean, someone asked me at the KMOX party at opening day, hey, when did you guys go to FM? I'm like, I don't know, 5-6 months ago.
1972.
And it was Monday. It was a friggin' Monday. That's nuts.
Tabe's like, it's been 87 years.
Anyway, the bullying. Earlier in the week, Rach did the story about Kara Spencer having a campaign event, and that, and I finally saw the pictures. They are so much creepier than I expected.
Of Tashara,
you finally saw them.
Tashara Jones shows up with her multi-person detail, wearing sunglasses. If you're wearing sunglasses inside, whoever you are, go outside and practice falling down. But then she said, oh, it was a misunderstanding. Have you seen this update?
I have not seen this.
It was a misunderstanding. We were both at an event, she and Kara, and people were saying, oh, we can't wait to see you at, you know, 516 Abbott Street or whatever it is. And so she assumed she was supposed to go. That's her story. So either you're not telling us the truth, or you just don't have very bright handlers, because...
No, she thinks we're stupid.
Well, what a lame excuse. That is a Donald Trump type excuse. That, oh, I thought I was supposed to be at Kara Spencer's campaign event. Really? I want someone running the city who thinks they're supposed to be at their opponent's campaign event? To me, that's like, she's already going to lose. But on her way out the door, that is just like, just salt in the wound.
Yeah. It's like I said, she thinks we're dumb. Last week, I think you were off, Dave, but I think it was last Friday. We were talking about it off the air, I think, Wheels, whenever she made the statement that there were zero pedestrian deaths from a vehicle in the city of St. Louis.
Yes.
And then it turns out there were like dozens.
48.
Yeah, 48. And then she comes out later. She goes, oh, no, I meant cyclists.
Yeah, I just meant people on unicycles.
You think that I am dumb when that's your excuse.
Yeah.
You think you're just able to pull the wool over my eyes because I'm stupid.
Well,
and
just
I have no-
like, Rach, to tie these two segments in, just like you said that you were heartened that enough people called out City SC on their shenanigans, we need more people calling out more politicians locally and nationally for gaslighting us and making us feel stupid. That is just beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What idiot?
Well, it's like giving yourself a B- for the snow removal.
Yeah, I mean,
when you shut down half your city.
We were supposed to be at Kara Spencer's event.
Sure you did.
Oh, so when did you realize it was Kara Spencer's event? Before or after you stood in the corner with your sunglasses on?
Arms folded. Trying to look tough.
Jeez, oh Pete. Just crazy. Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday. Finally, happy Friday. 2:22. So I don't like to go off and denigrate artists to each their own. Just because I don't get it doesn't mean that you don't. But how is there a single person who likes Coldplay?
I like Coldplay.
How do you exist?
Yeah, I think they're okay.
They have like a couple of really good albums. I mean,
all like nursery rhymes. They're just terrible.
They have Chris Martin has a lovely singing voice.
Someone loves Chris Martin.
Have you ever
Someone
listened loves. To A Rush Someone of does. Blood to the Head?
I haven't listened to much of it.
All right.
I've heard the hits.
Yeah, the hits.
And I hate everyone.
The hits are like not... they play the hits too much, so you learn the song and then you go, okay, I get it, stop playing Yellow or whatever it is. But they have some really amazing songs.
I'm going to say nay.
Yellow is good.
Team Dave.
Yellow is good. It's just like, or like, just anything they play so much on the radio. Scientist. It's like, all right, chill.
This must be how you feel about every other non-metal song.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I get it.
Pretty much.
I finally get it.
And again, I'm like you. I'm not saying nobody else should like it, just saying I don't get it.
It's like pouring a glass of orange juice and then adding 10 more glasses of water. It's just like there's no taste to this thing. I know it's supposed to taste like orange juice. I feel a hint of it on my tongue. So you're going to the movies tonight?
Yes, I am.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Before long, you'll get to go to the movies and smoke weed and text.
Oh, here in Missouri?
We're not sure where it's going to start, but the theaters have said, AMC has said, no texting. Draft House, no texting. But a lot of the national theaters are saying, like, the young people aren't not going to go to movies if they can't have their phones out. So they are talking about making ways that they can use their phones and they can smoke weed.
Yeah, I got news for you. You go to any movie theater.
Someone smoking weed?
On like a Friday or Saturday night, and it's 99% like teens smoking weed and texting and like
so
running.
So it's already here.
In the halls. Yeah, so that feature already exists.
Well, see, but if you're going to do that just in general population, then you're going to lose everybody else.
Yeah, true.
You're going to lose everybody else because I'm not going to a movie theater where there are phones out everywhere, and I'm not going anywhere where I'm going to smell like ass walking out of there. Just not doing it.
What if they got one of those strains that smells real good? Which
not doing. I don't want to smell anything in there. I want to smell popcorn, and that's it. I don't want to smell anything else. You want to do your gummies? Wonderful, love you. Go ahead. I'm cool with all that. Just don't do anything that's going to be. I don't want to leave with your stank. I do not want that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump on wheels aside for a second here. I don't generally have a huge problem with the smell of marijuana, but I don't want to be in a movie theater with 50 other people smoking weed.
No. Like, again,
that's pretty intense.
First of all, if you want to do that as an event and you're booking it that way, great. I just won't go to that. But if it's just in the general movie population, first of all, that smell's never coming out. It's going to be, it's like cigarette smell. Like, it's going to be there forever. Remember what restaurants smelt like, Dave, when you could smoke in restaurants?
You know what's funny? I don't. Because Trish and I were having this conversation the other day, because she's a smoker, that everyone smoked when we were kids.
That's true. So it just blended in.
It did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember my clothes smelling like smoke. I don't remember my house smelling like smoke. Mm. But my mom and dad smoked indoors all the time, in the car all the time. So you know we did.
Yeah.
But it's just that everyone smelled the same.
Yeah. See, my parents didn't. And when we went places like that, I was always like...
I remember when the non-smoking area... which was hilarious because, like, we could, right now, me and Rach could be the smoking area and you guys could be the non-smoking area.
Yeah.
It was just so silly.
Yeah.
I don't remember, I mean, we always sat in the non-smoking area, but I don't remember smelling, like, very vividly the smoke, which, again, was in the same building.
Yeah,
like
we're
you
all
said,
nose blind.
Like you said, 10 feet or less away from the non-smoking area.
I remember my grandma and grandpa's car had ashtrays built into the
Yeah,
they all did.
Every car did.
Every stoplight you would pull up to, you'd see a door open and people dump out their cigarettes.
Yes,
see, that drives me nuts. A lot of smokers seem to think that cigarette butts are not included in littering. It's like, oh, this is fine. I wouldn't throw a aluminum can on the ground, but my cigarette butt is just fine. It makes no sense to me. Like, that's like the number one thing you should be disposing of properly.
It's the number one thing that grosses me out.
Yeah, because if I see like an empty can of Pepsi on the ground next to a trash can, I'm going to pick it up and put it in the trash can. I don't want to touch your stinky cigarette butt.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yep.
Yuck.
Let's see here. Michael Berger says, started listening to you on your original day one as a legal talk show. Moved to Houston 13 years ago. Still listening. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for hanging in with us.
Cool.
Oh, what a day that was. What a momentous day in radio history.
I want to hear it.
I think it exists somewhere. Maybe not day one.
I have no idea.
I've got a ton of CDs. I have my whole career at home in the garage, which will never... It's all CDs. No one's going to ever listen to one of those CDs.
Man, I know if you heard my first show, it would sound like what we're doing now, but if you just sped it up like times eight.
Oh.
Like fast.
I mean, I already don't have a radio voice, so you can imagine day one, 25 years ago, with my nuts in my stomach, trying to not pass out. And then I came back the next day thinking I killed it. And my bosses were like, that wasn't good.
Well, but I mean, nobody's really good on their first show.
Even though you think you are.
Nobody is. I don't care. Like, what people don't remember is that even these all-time greats that you can name, when they were early on and had no experience, they stunk too. It takes time to get good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like Nolan Arenado didn't just wake up able to do what he does at third base. There were times when he wasn't that good. And he got better. And I'm talking about when he's younger. But he got better through working at it. And you need the reps.
Yep. So this is probably going to sound really cocky. Not personally. But as a part of KMOX, as the afternoon show. Yesterday, and this is emotional. Yesterday when I was at opening day and they're doing all the Cardinals introductions. And it's such a St. Louis thing. It's such a Cardinals thing. It's such a classy thing. The Cardinals are just the Cardinals. And I looked up and I could see the broadcast booth with Ricky and John and the big new 104.1 FM KMOX. And it just struck me that KMOX is the Cardinals of radio. Does that make any sense to anybody?
No, it is. They're very much the same. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved being a part of the Cardinals of radio.
Yep.
I think that's cool.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. Do we have Burn with us?
I think so.
Sure sound like it.
Yeah. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
We got you.
Okay.
We got you, brother.
I thought I had a 2:30 appointment on the DGS, and then all of a sudden I get a call from Andrew, and I'm like, did I screw something up? Yeah, so anyway, I'm glad to be with you guys, as always.
Anytime.
Okay. And women.
Anytime you get a call from Andrew, something's been screwed up. You know that.
Sorry, Burn.
Bernie, he yelled at us earlier.
That's all right, Andrew. I love you, brother.
Me too.
Because let me, the way I go, I'm doing so many things now, which I love, but it's like, I'm surprised I don't forget about some of these assignments. Sorry, but no, I'm never going to forget about DGS. Never.
So I have a couple more observations about baseball. Here's the dumbest thing you will ever hear me say. Oh my God, what a great game baseball is. It truly, to me, I love football, I love soccer, I love hockey, basketball. Baseball is as close to a perfect game as you get. Bernie Miklas, what do you think?
When it's well played and sort of the cadence of the whole season, I think it is perfection for people that if you're wired a certain way where everything doesn't have to be this big, huge drama with a lot of crazy stuff happening. And baseball for me has been almost a refuge because I can sit and watch games.
Amen.
And I can think.
Yes.
I have time to think. I have time to actually sit and say, well, what would I do if I were the manager? Would I pull this pitcher here? What would I do? Well, who's on the bench? I don't know if he should have made that decision. It's a game that invites you to think and reflect. And call me old-fashioned, but I still think those type of qualities are pretty sweet, especially in the culture we're living in now.
Amen. Yeah. Amen, right? Brother. Yeah. I totally agree.
I'd throw on top of that it's unlike every other team sport of the major ones, the big four in the United States. Maybe it's more similar to soccer in this regard. But like in football, if the best player on the field is the quarterback has the football more than half the game. They have the ball on every offensive play that you have. In basketball, your best player is always going to have the ball in their hands. LeBron is not going to go down the floor and not have the ball at some point. In baseball, your best hitter is going to bat four times. At best, four times. So you're going to get four out of 36 at-bats or plate appearances, maybe five out of 40 or 45 plate appearances. Your pitcher's only going to start once every fifth or sixth day. Your relievers are only going to be, even your best closer is not going to be able to go three, four, five games in a row. It's the one sport that requires that you cannot just lean on your best guys to win games.
So, Bernie, here's how much I'm like you. I'm the last guy standing that doesn't like the pitch clock, because I loved the natural ebb and flow of the game. I didn't mind 3.5 hour games on television or in person, and I put up with it, and it hasn't like ruined the game for me, but I'm such a purist, and I love the game for the reasons you said, Byrne. Like, tonight the Cardinals aren't on. I'll watch any game.
Yeah.
I'll watch any game.
Right.
I just love watching baseball.
I miss something else that's been removed from baseball. You talked about something that's coming to baseball. I miss umpires being out on the field, managers rushing out the field to argue. I thought that was part of the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I thought some of it was incredibly comical. I mean, I grew up watching Earl Weaver, who was famous for that.
Yeah.
Watching Lou Piniella go bananas, and Bobby Cox, and so many other managers I can mention. I mean, it's really, really funny. And that took some personality out of the game. And at a time where, a lot of people are turned, I'm not, but a lot of time, people are turned off by, advanced metrics and all this stuff. And, you're timing everything, and there's 7 million stats. I mean, I think baseball would do well to just make sure they keep the personality in the game.
So we're talking to Ricky Horton about this, that one game does not a season make. You can't really analyze it and use it for the future. But we now know what it looks like when this team plays well. We know what a win looks like.
Well, that's really interesting, because I agree with you. And, every major league team, right before opening day, when they have, when the locker rooms are open and the media comes in, I don't care where you are, it's everything. They're talking about, oh man, the energy's great. Gosh, we feel great about this team. We're really together. You're going to see a lot. You're going to see a lot of energy. We're going to play hard. We're going to do. And the thing of it is, when 30 teams are saying it, you're like, okay, Cardinals, I hear you. That's nice, but it's being said everywhere else. So you got to show us. And when I say you got to show us, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying the usual pregame optimism just doesn't fly. I thought that team yesterday showed exactly what they were talking about. And maybe there's going to be a little something to it. I thought that team had a collective personality change. They have a new attitude. The younger players are taking ownership of the culture, taking ownership of sort of the spirit and the clubhouse. And they could lose the next 5 games, I'd still say the same thing. We're seeing a transition of team culture, because these guys are determined to have fun, and it'd be just like nonstop energy. And the other thing, I like that little baby bird flapping wing thing.
Yeah.
Flapping wing. Like, and some people listening will say, like, oh, come on, do you really like that? Yeah. You know why I like it? 2 reasons. I just think it looks like a bird flapping, and the Cardinals want to fly, right? It's corny. They're supposed to be corny. The other thing is, do you remember that stupid damn cheeseburger phone in the dugout?
Yeah, sure do.
In 2023, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen, when a team's trying to come up with like a celebration or something. A cheeseburger phone? That's the best you can do? No wonder you all lost 91 games.
Being reminded on this stream by Todd and Brian that the Blues just won 8 in a row. Let's talk a little Blues hockey, Burn.
Oh, yeah. Best team in the league since February 8th by far. And since Jim Montgomery came aboard on November the 25th, they're the best 5-on-5 team in the league. And every part of this team has improved dramatically, including the play. Here I go again with the word, including this team's culture, their togetherness, the way they're unified, the way they're just utterly determined to win. And Jim Montgomery is a great coach, and the veterans have stepped up. The young guys have stepped up. Doug Armstrong made a couple of really great moves, with Cam Fowler, and before that, Ryan Suter. Everything's gone. I mean, they're going to be a playoff team, I'm reading some of the stuff around the country to see how they're viewed on the outside. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing stories pop up about they're going to be dangerous. Nobody's going to want to play them.
No, no, they got nothing to lose. This is so. I'm not jinxing this. Not a jinx, but it is so reminiscent of 19. It really is.
It is, and this will be interpreted as me being critical of Jordan Binnington, and I'm not, but Bennington was the number one reason why they won the Stanley Cup. He was just, it was a Kurt Warner season.
Yeah.
It was Kurt Warner 99 all over again.
Yep.
He was unbelievable. Okay, now, the Jordan Bennington, who's older and wiser, he's capable of playing really well, but he's been inconsistent. So if you can tell me, Mr. Glover, that the Jordan Bennington in 19 will reappear, you know, that's not fair to him, but I'm just saying.
Sure.
That he's not quite as invincible as he was back then.
But they do. I mean, like you've been talking a lot about their five-on-five play, and for months. They've been phenomenal. But even lately, I mean, forgetting five-on-five, all situations, they're not giving anything up. I mean, some of it is goaltending, sure, but I'm with you. Bennington's not exactly been Mr. Consistent all season long. But these last eight games, Byrne, they've only allowed more than two goals once during this streak. I mean, that's a lot of good team hockey, but they're doing that without Colton Parayko, which is what blows me away even more, because he's clearly their best defenseman, yet they're still doing it, and that's just, yeah, it's the coach, and yeah, it's the players, but it's almost hard to believe that you're missing that guy and your defense is that good.
Well, the structure is much better than it was. I mean, they're playing is just the way that he has set up his system. The forwards are back a lot.
Yes.
And they're taking away a lot of things. And they're limiting shots. I mean, during this winning spree they're on, they're allowing an average of like 20, 22 and a half, 23 shots per game. That's crazy. You know, that's nuts. And they do a great job of limiting goals. That's a big change. So there's something else. And by the way, can I just throw this in about Jim Montgomery? Because I think this is a cool stat. You know, among coaches in NHL history who have had 300 games behind the bench, he's got the third best winning percentage in the history of the league. He's a great coach. The Bruins were morons for firing him.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Happy Friday. Supposed to have some severe weather moving in for the weekend. Dave Murray will be here in about half an hour. He'll tell us all about it. But I want to go to at least one of the games this weekend, and it's looking a little sketchy. So we'll see how it goes.
A little stormy, maybe?
Yeah, especially on Sunday. You know how they have like the severe weather threat 1 through 5? We're in a 3 for the whole region. But not everyone's going to get hit. She just never know.
Mm-mm. I hate bad weather when it comes to baseball season.
Yeah, it does suck.
I like when Wheels goes.
Makes me mad. Makes a Marge Simpson noise.
Don't like rain delays. Never did. Even as a kid, there was nothing worse than you have a game that night and it rains and you just know it's going to get rained out.
Yeah, it sucks. So it finally happened. I was approached by a person downtown asking me for money who was clearly better dressed than I was, which is not hard to do. If you're watching on the stream, I wear other men's clothes. I wear used clothes. V-necks, beanies, that's my jam. Got two pairs of jeans, cycle back and forth between those. But this guy was wearing khakis, nice desert boots, a button-down shirt, and had an iPhone.
Why did he say he needed money?
He didn't say, and I didn't have any. Mm-hmm. You know, I usually have some money with me, and I would have given it to him. I always err on the side of just, you never know when I'm going to be asking for money, so just be generous. But I didn't have any money, and it was he was not like your typical homeless person where he's kind of mumbling and like, I'm like, fine, here's some money. He was just like, hey, man, could really use some money. You have any extra? And I'm like, what's your 401k? Take a hit? I mean, what's your deal? Anyway, just thought that was interesting.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Kind of odd. Looked a lot like Fred Bottomer.
Oh.
Might have been him.
Uh-oh.
You know, he's hit the skids.
Fred knows that we all got him, though.
Yeah, we got Fred.
Yeah. I'll Venmo you, Fred.
Also, just short segment, observations from Dave. I talk a lot about mental health, my own mental health, and today I saw a package about it on one of the morning television shows, and they said up to 50 million people in the United States alone suffer from mental illness. And I thought, only 50 million people? Mm-hmm. Like, there are 280 million people who are okay? That's crazy.
Maybe that's diagnosed?
Maybe.
I don't know what the number would be, though. Because I guess it depends on
Maybe those are the people who are diagnosed, seeking
like
treatment.
Clinical definitions, maybe?
On medication.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But you'd have to think that double that.
Well, how else would you measure?
Are suffering.
No idea. That's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Bridge.
I was just going to say mental health is so tough because, I mean, it's a big duh, but it's not something you can see. So, I mean, yeah. I'm sure there are plenty of people who are suffering who have no idea they're suffering. Their doctor might not even know they're suffering. Yeah. They just have lived their life with depression or anxiety, and that's they've just accepted.
But you ever go down the rabbit hole that you don't know what it feels like inside of someone else's head or even body? You know, like I have a good friend of mine who has chronic pain and just in pain all the time, everywhere in their body. And I can't relate to that. I don't have chronic pain. I don't have those sorts of things. And so and similarly, people who have less pain than me emotionally, mentally, whatever, like you, Wheels, you don't know what it's like to be inside of me.
No.
But I don't know what it's like to be inside of that person.
Right.
It's all just so relative.
Which is why you have to make an effort to understand what other people deal with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not automatic knowledge, and it's not, well, you're not like me, so you're wrong. Like, that's not how it works. You got to make the effort. By the way, that's still, even if it's 59 million, Dave, I think that's the number, that's still one in every four people.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, you're walking down the street, and you look at four people, likelihood is at least one of them has something going on that they're dealing with.
I feel like on the DGS, it's like the reverse stat.
Yeah. We have five out of four.
The inverse. Like, which one of these is not like the other one? That's me.
You guys buy the manifestation thing?
The what?
I do think that if you focus on, I don't think it's like, oh, you focus on money, you're going to be rich. But I do think you are your thoughts. And if you focus all the time on like something bad happening, it's more likely that you're going to go down that path because you're paving that path for yourself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Kind of self-fulfilling prophecies.
Yeah.
I can't speak today. I had a beer and a mixed drink over an 8-hour period yesterday and I'm hungover. I am such a wuss. I'm such a 60-year-old lightweight. I just don't drink that much anymore. And I had one draft beer in the Kamewex suite with my dog. And then I had a mixed drink at dinner with Michael Kelly and I feel like hell.
I was just about to ask you, who's your dog? Because the way you said you meant your hot dog, but you said
Michael Kelly.
When you first said it, you meant it sounded like it was your buddy.
He's my dog.